And that says it all. Good morning, and once again, I welcome you to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice Still, and I'm so happy to be here today. In fact, I'm so happy that I was so blessed to be here for this privilege of being a part of a celebration of 40 years, where I think we well stated last evening, this is a time for new beginnings now. We have completed something, and we're moving forward, and if not now, if not me, thank you, Cerise, really gorgeous. So it's my very good privilege to introduce to you our very special guest speaker. It is Dr. Ken Gordon, who is the leader of Centers for Spiritual Living. You know, that's an elected position, and he got reelected. And I'm so glad you did. And I think Reverend Noli did a beautiful job last night at surprising us with some details we did not know about you, because you have been good friends with Reverend Noli. But I did a little research this morning on the internet, and I just wanted to add a little something. I figured out why Dr. Ken is qualified to lead our organization. It's all about alfalfa farming. So the first article that I pulled up said simply this: there are four common mistakes in growing alfalfa. And you probably know this already, but I'm going to tell you that site selection matters. You can't grow alfalfa on hilly or rocky ground. You cannot plant it in infertile soil. Before you plant, you need to test the soil. And number three, you can't have a poor planting technique. Now, this just sounds like Jesus. This is a parable that Jesus wrote a long time ago. So, I'm just going to show that there's a little connection here. But number four was the one that cinched it for me. Number four, you gotta work at it once you plant it. If you want it to be successful, you don't throw out the seed and then walk away from the crop. You got to work it. My friends, it is my very good pleasure to introduce to you our well-qualified leader of Centers for Spiritual Living, Dr. Ken Gordon.
Actually, Reverend Karen, that there's a lot of truth in that. I remember when I was farming, I was becoming a practitioner, and my first clients, I calculated out once, were the 6 million alfalfa plants that I had. So I would travel all over the Coachella Valley, and I would pray for my plants as a test group for what I was doing. Yeah, well, I got better at that after a while, but farming is an interesting thing. I'm extremely honored to be here and to be part of the 40th anniversary of this beautiful church. And like I said last night, I applaud you for the work that you do. And this sharing that we've had that's been leading up to here is really sparks within me this idea of where we're at right now. And I know I spoke a little bit about it last night, so I'd just like to elaborate a bit on it. But what we're chasing after is something that is inarticulable at this particular time. It's like trying to define the deity itself. It's something that goes beyond definition. But we all know what it is with our feeling sense and with who we are. So I prefer to speak in parables. I prefer to speak in stories to be able to express and really invoke the energy that exists within each of us here, that thing that we're in touch with. What we know in our society right now is that there are dramatic changes that are taking place. I'm sure everyone's in agreement with that, that over the last decade, let's say, we've seen some pretty spectacular things take place. They haven't always been comfortable, but they've been spectacular. We've seen the Arab Spring. We've seen some revolution. We've seen some civil wars. We've seen some terror activity, some action. We've seen our economic system implode and crash. We've seen all of these things happening, and I know what it is that it is a new consciousness that's searching and trying to become real, trying to break out of where it is right now. trying to become something fresh and something new. And our tendency as human beings, and believe me, I'm not talking about you in the audience because I know that you are all avatars and that you don't have any of these issues, but our tendency as human beings is to go back to what we're comfortable with. So therefore, what we do is we throw a couple $1 trillion at our banking system and we save it and buoy it up instead of accepting the fact that maybe perhaps it isn't working. Then we go through the trial and tribulation of the 1% and we see the inequity in the shared thing that goes around the world. We respond to any terror action with terror action in return, like I talked about last night. What we do is we respond with the same energy that we receive and then wonder why that energy continues to grow and expand, because we haven't quite figured out how to do it in a different way. And so the world right now is in this place of expansion and at the same time a place of an attempt to be able to hold it back and withhold what's happening, to try to make sure that we stay at the place that we're at. We all know that if I want to go from here to the door over there and I'm hanging on to this, then in order for me to be able to make that journey, what's required is that I let go of what I'm holding on to. I have to let go of this to get there. And that pathway that we go to this new way of being and this new way of living is one that can be incredibly uncomfortable to let go of this. But once we get on that pathway, we know, according to our belief, our principles, our foundation, our values, that we are drawn towards where it is that we're headed. So the big step is to release. So I'll tell you a story. So about 16 years ago, I think, my daughter and I went on a camping trip to an area called the Broken Group, which is off the west coast of Vancouver Island, about 15 kilometers. And the Broken Group is a group of islands that lay off there in the middle of the Pacific. And they're small islands, and they're closely bunched together. They're off a town called Bamfield and another one called Ucluelet. And it's an absolutely gorgeous, serene national park. It's clean, it's clear, it's magnificent. You're only allowed there by reservation. You have to sign up beforehand. They only allow so many people to go at a given time, and you do it all in sea kayaks. Now, a sea kayak isn't the kind of kayak you use in the south here, which is open. It's got a skirt that you put on, and it's got a rudder, and you have to kayak your way through there. And so we went on this trip with my daughter and myself. My daughter was 16, and my brother-in-law and my sister and my niece. And Kelsey, my daughter, and I, we were in a two-person kayak, which means she was sitting in front of me, and we were kayaking through it. My brother-in-law went with his daughter, my niece, Caitlin, and they had a two-person kayak. And my sister was alone in a single. And so the three kayaks, we took off for 14 days through the Broken Group on the west coast of Vancouver Island. It is a beautiful place. It's absolutely gorgeous. There are places that you go where the islands are so close together, it's like maybe twice, maybe the width of the back of the room to the front of the sanctuary here. So they're close, and it's almost like being in a river between some of these islands, and they're shaded by the old-growth trees that have never been cut down. And you go through, and it's deep gorges that you get to go through, and you get to kayak through these areas, and there's lots of seal and fish and sea lions and whales. There's tons of stuff. On the islands, there are deer and bear. It's an incredibly fascinating place. And I remember going through, as a matter of fact, that we could look on the island, and some of the islands you're not allowed to set foot on because they're sacred ground for the Itagwai, the natives of that area. And the natives never buried their dead. What they would do is hang them from crates from the big cedar trees with ropes. And so you could be going through those areas, and what you would see is you would see these ancient, ancient old crates hanging off the trees. It was extremely touching. And in a sea kayak, you're at heart level, so you're one with the environment that's around you. It's magnificent. You'd come around corners on the islands, and you'd see the old lodge houses with the totems all fallen down. They were abandoned, but you could see the history of that area and how magnificent it was. And you could see down 40, 50, 60 feet into the water and see everything, all the marine life that was underneath you. It's absolutely magnificent thing to do. So if you're ever in search of an adventure, I would recommend that you do that. That is an exciting thing. So we went for 14 days, and we had to kayak quite a ways. And so what we would do is we would island hop. We would go from one island to the next island to the next island. And we just hop along and have a great time. We'd usually start at a reasonable time in the morning, like 8 o'clock. We'd have breakfast, get into the kayaks, and we'd head back out into the water again. And we'd go to the next island. And as we went to the next island, what we would do is maybe 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we'd stop and make camp and relax and have a wonderful time and play with the sea lions. And I brought my crab trap and my fishing rod. And so we would fish on the way. And we would, when we made camp at night, I'd go out in the kayak and set my crab trap so we could catch crabs for hors d'oeuvres for dinner. So it was magnificent. As a matter of fact, it was the only time that whenever I got a fish on the end of my line, I would be terrified that the fish would be too big. So I'd actually pray, oh, God, don't make this a big one. Because in the kayak, a 20-pounder might just flip you right over. So you'd kind of be pulling in the fish. And it was exciting and it was wonderful. And so the three kayaks, we went and we were traveling and had a great time. And we were going island to island to island to island to island. And we came to this place where we had to cross this thing called the Coaster Channel. And it was basically a huge channel that we had to go across where you couldn't see land on the other side. You knew it was out there. And you never went there without a chart that was tied to the front of the bulkhead of where you were sitting. So you had a chart so you knew exactly where you were in the or on the earth at that particular time. And you always wore a compass on a lanyard around your neck so that you could always check with your chart and make sure you were going in the right direction. And so we got there, and my brother-in-law and I figured out the drift of the Coaster Channel, so because you have to figure that out when you're going into the nothingness. You can't see where you're headed. You can't have any idea that it's there. And so what we had to do is we had to sort out how we were going to do this. So what we would do is we'd check on the chart. We'd see where we wanted to go because the islands are all rocky, and so there's only specific beaches that you can land on. So we'd lay up where we thought the direction was. We'd set it with our compasses so we knew where we were headed. And what we would do is we would measure the drift of the current that was going through, which the tidal charts all gave us, and then we could take off and start headed across. So we headed across the Coaster Channel, and we were going across. And one of the things in a kayak, or a double kayak especially, that you have to do is you have to keep it going in order to plane it. If you stop, what happens is you lose the momentum. And because you've got the drift, and you've got the area where you're going, and you've got your compass direction all set up, it's very important to make sure that you keep your momentum and your speed going so that you can arrive where you want to go. And so we'd head off, and we were headed across, and we were kayaking, and it was a long ways to kayak. And the Coaster Channel was extremely interesting, and it was called the Coaster Channel for a reason, because it had these huge coasters that would come through. And you don't even know the coasters are there. It feels like you're on flat water when you're there and you're looking around. But one minute I'd be talking to my brother-in-law over here as we were kayaking along, and then I'd kayak for a bit. Then I'd look over, and he wouldn't be there. And I'd wonder, you know, where the heck is he? And you could look down, and about, I don't know, four stories, 40 feet down, he'd be in the bottom of a swell trough, and he'd be kayaking on the bottom. And then it was quite amazing, actually, and kayaking along, and then the next time you'd look over, and you couldn't see him. And once again, it looks flat, but then you'd kind of look up, and you'd realize that he was four stories up, and that you were in the bottom of the trough, and that he was kayaking along. And so it was an exciting moment to go through there. And once again, we were headed into the nowhereness. We were headed for this island that was off quite a ways in the distance that we couldn't see. And you have to understand that if we'd made an error, we would have missed the island. And if we missed the island, then the next place we would have probably landed coming down from British Columbia would have been, if you're lucky, Hawaii. If you missed that, you might hit Tahiti. And if you miss that, you might hit Australia. And eventually, you definitely would end up in the Antarctica. So, I mean, it's a long ways, and you wanted to make sure that you had your precision in your chart and on your compass and on the drift so you knew where you were going. We live in a society that's filled with drift. You might have noticed that. We live in a society where race, mind, or the collective consciousness of our society itself kind of picks us up and moves us places. It does me. It might not you, because you are those avatars I was talking about. But I find sometimes when I turn on the television and watch television, like a debate or something, that I all of a sudden find myself drifting on the collective consciousness. And, you know, open the newspaper and see something happening, and fear jumps into my chest, and anger sometimes, and a certain level of pistoftivity. And so the end result is that I kind of find myself in that situation where I'm trying to deal with what's in front of it. And spiritual practice is what saves me, because I do my spiritual practice regularly, so at least I know 2 hours a day I know that I am balanced. Or actually, it takes me half an hour to get balanced, and then after that, maybe an hour and a half of balance, and then I get back into the fray of the world again. And I'm sure most of you have the similar situation. And so we're going across this island, to this island, and you have to understand that our job in the metaphor, in the world, is to transform consciousness. That's our job. Our job is to grow the consciousness of humanity. It's to be able to develop the collective consciousness through the individual until we get to the tipping point that what we get to do is we get to transform the consciousness of the world through the activity and the action of our thinking. And it's working. It's happening. I shared last night all the grade 3 kids reading the affirmations. Things are moving forward. You'll notice a lot of the polarity right now is split up between those who want to stay the same and those who know we must change and move forward to get going. So it's happening. This is a good thing that is happening on the earth right now. It's a good thing that's happening to our people. We will survive. We will become a place, a world that works for everyone. It inevitably will occur. But our job is to continue to grow that consciousness. And there are times in our lives, in our societies, when it feels like we're between islands where we can't see land. And we're in one of those times right now. We're in one of those times where it feels like we're in the middle of the ocean, bobbing around, and we can't see where we're going, so we have to rely on the faith to get there. And I'll share with you that the chart that we had when we were kayaking in front of us are the principles that we espouse that we hold true. They're the principles of oneness. They're the principles of unity. They're the principles of inclusiveness. They're the principles of fairness in the world, of love and light and joy and beauty. And they're written in our teaching. They're written in our organizational design model. You can find it online. You just finished having almost a year of the principles being taught every Sunday here. And that's what's required of us, is to maintain those principles as our chart. And the compass that we have in our teaching is our faith. It's our belief in God. It's our belief in higher power. It's our belief in the infinite intelligence of life. It's our belief in put your own name to it if you choose. So when we follow this and we follow this, we must come to where we're headed. We must arrive at it. It's just basic physics and how it works. And so when we took off from that island, we were headed across, and we were canoeing or kayaking along across it in the swells and everything that was going on. We were okay because we had our chart and we had our compass. And we're okay right now because we have our chart and we have our compass. We have our principles and we have our faith. And if we trust them and follow them, then that's good. But if I were out in the middle of that ocean and decided at some particular point that I didn't trust the principles, that I didn't trust the faith, that I didn't trust the chart, I didn't trust the compass, what would happen is I would stop paddling, and the drift of the collective consciousness or the tidal move would pick me up, and it would move me to another place. And this is the time of great change in our society, and we're the ones that are helping lead that change. Not we being members of Centers for Spiritual Living, but we being the collective conscious movement of people. The ones that actually are aware that there's something transforming and there's something to move towards. The ones that aren't frightened of letting go of something to get to a new place. The ones that have committed to do that job and take that action. And that's who we are. And right now we're between islands. We're between consciousnesses. We're between states of consciousness. The one behind us is pulling and say, come back, come back, come back, come back. And the one in front of us is enticing us and drawing and attracting and saying, come forward, come forward, come forward. Am I making sense? And so we find ourselves in this situation, and when Kelsey and I and Donald and Colleen and Caitlin were going across the Coaster Channel, there came a time when you not only couldn't see the island that you were headed towards, but there came a time when you couldn't see the island you were leaving. So you were bobbing in the middle of what appeared to be the Pacific, and all you could do is continue to kayak because you couldn't stop the momentum, because if you did, you'd be picked up in the drift and you'd be transported and transformed and moved to another place. So there we are, we're kayaking along, and all of a sudden what happened is the Pacific Northwest fog came in. Do you know what I'm talking about, Pacific Northwest fog? That dark stuff where I couldn't see the back of my daughter's head 3 feet in front of me? Where everything becomes a whiteout and you get that sense of vertigo that comes over you and you almost feel like you're spinning. And in order to do it, my poor daughter had to paddle twice as hard as before because I kept having to stop and peer down at the chart and look at the chart and then look at my compass to make sure I was headed in the right direction. So she had to do double work so I could keep us on pathway, so I could keep us going. And there we are, the three of us, and we couldn't see each other, but we could hear each other as we were traveling across. And so we were in this whiteout fog, and we were kayaking along, and we were checking our compass points, and we were checking our charts, and you couldn't see anything, and we knew we were in the middle of the Pacific. And then my sister became frightened. And it's understandable. I would have become frightened as well if I'd been in the single all by myself, bobbing along there trying to make it. And so what we had to do is we had to stop, and we had to go back, and we had to find her in the fog. And when we found her in the fog, what we did was we tied her up to the back of my brother-in-law's kayak. And so she was on a lanyard and a rope. And Kelsey and I, once we got her tied up, we could have headed forward and gone on our own, but that's not who we are. So instead, what we did was we fell in behind, and we slowed down, and we started heading to where we thought we were supposed to go, following our chart, following our compass, following our principles, following our faith. And we came, and we moved forward, and eventually we popped out of the fog lifted, and we could see the island. And we weren't too far off the beach we were going to come to, so we could see the beach as well. So we headed in there, and we made it, and we got there, and we all got off, and we set up camp. And we camped for a couple of days. Our job is to expand consciousness. It's to move us forward into a new way of thinking and a new way of being. Right now, we're in the fog between islands. We're in the fog between consciousness. That's all that's happening right now. We have nothing to fear if we follow our principles and we follow our faith. But if we give up on our principles, if we give up on the chart, then all we have is a compass and the faith, and we'll just bob around in the middle of the ocean. We'll paddle in different directions, but we won't know the direction we need to go in. If we give up on our compass, then we probably will just sit and bob in the ocean like a cork and let the collective consciousness or the tide move us wherever it needs to move us, wherever it will move us. But that's not who we are, and that's not what our job is. Our job is to expand consciousness to get to the next island. Our job is to get to the next state of consciousness, even though we're in the middle of the ocean and we can't see where we're going or what we're doing. But if we believe our principles and we hold on to our faith, we'll arrive where we're at, where we need to be. There is nothing more important that exists in the world today than for us to live our principles and hold on to our faith. Nothing. No matter what happens in the newspapers, no matter what happens on TV, no matter what happens in the world, we cannot afford the luxury of giving up and stopping and floating. Because our very lives and the lives of humanity depend on us arriving at the next state of consciousness. We won't go back, we'll just drift. and we'll land wherever it throws us. Now, I'll tell you, we went and we camped for 2 days, and we played with the seals, and we crabbed, and we fished, and we had a great time for 2 days. And then you know what we did is we packed up our kayaks, and we put them back in the water, and we headed for the next island. Well, that time isn't here yet where we can afford to take a couple days off, metaphorically speaking. The time exists now where we're paddling. And the other thing that we need to know is that sometimes people get frightened on our trip there. And it requires that we stop and we slow down, and we sometimes pull them. And sometimes they pull us. We help each other across this chasm that we're looking at, across this body of water, across this body of consciousness. That's why we have spiritual community. That's what we're doing here, is we're supporting each other and moving forward in consciousness, not just for ourselves, not just for our families, not just for those people we know, not just for this community, but for the world at large. This is the calling that is put upon us. And this is what Spirit demands of us. And we can trust that if we follow our principles and we follow our faith, we'll arrive where we need to go. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Would you like to pray with me?
Yes.
So we ground ourselves right here and right now in the recognition and the acknowledgement of that which we believe to be true. That which is the infinite that resides within us and all around us. For we know that there is only one thing that is occurring, one thing that is happening, and that is the life of God, and that each of us is divine ideas in this life. Therefore, I implant and set in mind right here and right now the truth for each and every one of us. And that truth is that we are way showers, we are light showers, we are guides, we are leaders. No matter what occurs, no matter what happens, no matter what fears arise, no matter what trepidation enters into our being or into our life, we move forward steadily based upon the principles that we hold to be true, the resonant principles of life itself that reside within us at the core of our being, at the very depth of our experience in life. We move forward with the faith and knowledge and knowing that the world is unfolding in perfection, and that each and every human being on this planet is awakening to their own spiritual magnificence, and that when each fits into the mosaic of life that resides, that is truth, that is all around them, and lives from their own authenticity and actualization, that we will have created and brought into being a world that works for all. We do not surrender or give up on this idea, but we continue the momentum moving forward, no matter what the outside circumstances appear as. For we know that this is God's divine idea for life right here and right now, and we accept it and we follow it. Joyfully, knowingly, consciously, we follow it. I recognize and know that we travel this pathway together, and we love and respect each other in that process. And when I say we, I mean the entire 7.5 billion people that exist on this planet. For there is only one of us that is happening, one of us that is occurring, and it is unfolding in its own perfection even as I speak these words. I speak my word for this congregation, knowing its value, its beauty, its magnificence, its intention, and its purpose on life. I know without question or without hesitation that every person here is here by divine appointment. They are not here by accident. They are here by an invitation from Spirit itself. They are following the compass of their own life, and they have arrived here to find the principles that will take us forward into a world that works for all. Accepting and expecting this to be so, I give grateful thanks that it's true. I release and surrender it back into the universal mind, which is your mind, my mind, and all mind. And I demand that it be my truth, and I live from it with expectation and anticipation. I let go and I let God. And we ground this by saying, and so it is. God bless you. Thank you very much.